Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to pick up right where we left off this morning in verse 16 of this chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some great, great theological truths in this passage tonight. It's going to take us, honestly, we could spend so much time in this chapter alone. And we're going to finish out the chapter tonight, but I was thinking about this. Have you guys ever been to the Ark Encounter? Anyone? One of the greatest things that's there is on the bottom level, they have a kitchen, and they sell fudge there. Do you guys like fudge? You guys love fudge? I love fudge. You might not know this about me, but I have a sweet tooth. And the thing about fudge, though, is sometimes it's so rich that you take a bite of it, and there's no words to describe. But then you take a second bite, and it's still good, but it's, like, so rich that you have to slow down. And, you know, brownies go quick in my house. Fudge sometimes lasts because it's so rich that it takes a while to get through. And there are portions of Scripture. It's all the Word of God. But, man, you come across some chapters, some texts, and it's, man, you could spend forever because it's so rich. And right when you think you've got a grasp on it, you read it, and it's like it's new again. Because the Word's alive. And so, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. We're going to begin reading in verse 16. If you're willing and able, would you stand with me tonight as we read a few verses here out of the Word of God? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's have a word of prayer together tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us your word that we can gather around. And God, I pray tonight that, Lord, you would help us just to have a little more understanding of your grace, Lord, of just your goodness and your great love for us. God, I thank you that you have freely offered salvation to all people. Primarily, Lord, I'm thankful you've offered me salvation. Lord, thank you so much for the hope that I'm able to have and we can share in the gospel here tonight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A couple things to notice in this text together tonight. The first thing is this, that when a person is born again, there is a transformation that takes place. Now, notice in our text, if you were here this morning, some of the things that Paul was saying, they tie right in tonight. So notice in verse number 16, he said, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more." That's a really wordy way to say this. You'll remember that as Brother Isaac preached this morning, when a person is saved, we have this promise that someday we will be fully and finally redeemed in glorified bodies, right? Amen. That's a truth. That's going to happen. All of us here, someday, if you are in Christ, you'll be in a glorified body. But the moment that you were born again, you didn't receive a glorified body, right? You closed your eyes in prayer, and you opened them with the same eyes that you had before. And so we weren't physically changed when we were saved. However, we weren't really even spiritually changed when we were saved. We were spiritually dead before we were saved. And now we are a new creation. It wasn't just that Christ made us from something into something new. We were dead. And now we are alive in Christ. And so in verse number 16, what he's explaining is as Brother Isaac was preaching this morning and making mention of essentially we are right now in tabernacles. Like these bodies aren't going to last forever, but someday we'll receive glorified bodies for all eternity. He's saying this, that we know people, we see them spiritually. We knew Christ in the flesh, but they didn't know Christ in the flesh anymore because Jesus had ascended to heaven. But now they knew him, they knew his spirit. And just for a moment, this verse, I'm really guilty of this. I spent a long time reading over this verse to get to the good part. And then I realized that this verse is also the good part. You remember Jesus, they didn't want him to go away. The disciples, this was their best friend. How many of you guys ever had a friend move away? Make you sad? Sometimes people move away and you're not all that sad, but sometimes people move away and it makes you sad. You're going to miss them. Jesus was about to leave. They didn't want him to go. Remember what he told them? He said, it's good for you that I go. Amen. One of the things that we just need to notice in this verse is the intimacy that they had with the Spirit of God. Amen. Paul said, we knew him in the flesh, and what a blessing that was. But even better, we have his spirit that lives in us. When Jesus was here on earth, they could talk to him face to face when they were in the room with Jesus. But listen, Jesus lives in my heart now. He's always ever present with me. There's a great intimacy that I believe Paul is referring to here in verse 16. Yet now henceforth know we him no more. Not that they don't know Christ. It's that they don't know him in the flesh. Now they have the Spirit of God, which is the down payment, right? Is the earnest of our inheritance. And so what a great gift it is to any believer who has the Spirit of God living in them. But notice that there's a great transformation that takes place. He says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And this is a statement of fact. If anyone is born again in this room, you are a new creature. And if you are not a new creature, you are not born again. That there's no way around it. This is a statement of fact made by Paul, but through the Holy Spirit, that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. And that's anyone. You know, I love this because I was dead, and now I'm alive. You see, what most of religion and even Christianity preaches today is behavior modification and changes from the outside in. Listen, this transformation that takes place, he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That didn't happen when I tried harder. And that didn't happen when I turned over a new leaf. You know, make a list of sins that maybe I used to commit. If I were an alcoholic, I didn't become a new creature when I laid the bottle down. I didn't become a new creature when I stopped cussing. I didn't become a new creature when I came to church. When I gathered with believers, I didn't become a new creature. I didn't become a new creation when I was put underwater. Listen, a lot of people have been put underwater and brought back out, and there's nothing different about them. Still dead in their trespasses and sins. You know, we could make a long list of things, but here's the reality tonight. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I became alive. I became a new creature when I was put in Christ. And that happened when I was drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. and trusted the gospel to save me. Amen. And in that moment, in that second, it's been said, right, salvation is the miracle of a moment. Sanctification is the process of a lifetime. But listen, in a moment, quicker than you can snap your finger, I was dead, then I was made alive. Amen. There was a great transformation that took place. Listen, I couldn't do that myself either. You and I can't create anything. Nobody can create anything except for God. Amen. It's so funny when you hear people talk about the origins of the universe and they're trying to figure out all these different things, and it's funny, it's really not, it's frustrating. When you at least get people to a certain point where they start talking about the Big Bang or certain dust particles, and you know, where'd that come from? Who created that? Well, I don't know. Listen, everything that is created has a creator. If I am a new creature, that means there is a creator. Just like the earth is the evidence, just like the creation is the evidence for a creator God, if I am a new creature, there is someone who created me, and it wasn't me. And it wasn't you, and it wasn't a preacher, it wasn't my dad or my mom, it was nobody except for God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that was done by God. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a great transformation that takes place. And I, you know, we always highlight the word therefore, verse 17, the beginning of this verse. It ties together what was just said with this verse. And I believe what Paul is trying to communicate, and I think this is good for us to realize tonight, because when someone claims that they're born again or they're in Christ, listen, they're still in their sinful physical body. But make no mistake, just because you are still in a broken down body doesn't mean that you aren't a new creature in Christ. Amen. That the flesh, that's what he says in verse number 16, tying all that together, that Jesus was here in the flesh, now they knew him in the spirit, but the Holy Spirit isn't any less real than Jesus in the flesh. And just because you can't see the new creature doesn't mean he doesn't exist. He is very much alive. My flesh is still no good, but the Spirit of God is good. And that's who lives in me. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We see this great transformation that takes place. And he goes on to say, and all things are of God, meaning that this transformation, this thing that happens, is because of God. We can't take credit for it. It wasn't me, and it wasn't you. None of us can boast about our salvation. It's only through Christ that we were able to be made new. He said, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So there is a transformation that takes place. And think about who's writing the letter. Maybe better than anybody, Paul understood. Was there a transformation in Paul's life? I mean, it was a very evident transformation. But there's also a reconciliation that took place. When you were put in Christ, not only were you transformed, you were reconciled to God. And what a great verse. God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Notice first, the initiation was made by God. God is who reconciled the world to himself. And I know I've said this before, but it's one of the most beautiful things in Scripture to me, that God was the wronged party, and yet he initiated the reconciliation. And that's not how we operate, typically. If somebody wrongs you, you want them to come apologize first. Right? If two people get in an argument, they get in a fight, typically we would expect, well, if somebody was in the wrong, they ought to go apologize. That's what you do with kids, right? Like, I've got two little boys, and sometimes they don't get along every once in a while. If one of them punches the other one, hey, go tell them you're sorry. Go make it right. Listen, we are the ones who offended God, broke his laws, spat in his face, and yet he initiated the reconciliation of us to him. What a great love. I mean, really, I'm talking about how rich this chapter is. We could leave, and if we all just promised to think on that truth tonight, we still wouldn't get it by the time we went to bed. That we are the guilty party, and yet God initiated the reconciliation. What a great truth that is. God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's a great word there, imputing. So, that word, I cannot pronounce it in the Greek. I'm not going to try because you guys will all laugh at me. But listen to this. That word, when you find it, it means to reckon, to count, to compute, calculate, count over. It's a metaphor to pass to one's account. What a great word to describe what Jesus did on the cross for me. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So when God reconciles the world to himself, it says that he does it through Jesus Christ. And the way that happens is that when Jesus is on the cross, the last verse of our text tells us, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When Jesus was on the cross, he was literally paying for my sins. Amen. It's been said many times, but God does not just turn a blind eye at sin. He doesn't just say, no big deal. The cross shows how big of a deal my sin was. One commentator said this, if God sets aside his wrath or his justice to save sinners, then the cross, instead of being a demonstration of love, is an exhibition of unspeakable cruelty and injustice and one man's misguided attempt to do something good. If sin could be excused, then it never need be satisfied. But my sin can't be excused. And your sin cannot just be forgotten and excused. Those of you that are in Christ and you're a new creature, it's not as if God looked at your sin and said, it's not a big deal. Jesus bled and died for everything wrong you have ever done or will ever do. And not just us, everybody in the entire world that's ever been born. Jesus bore the sins of the world. That's why it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Because God is just and he's righteous and he's holy. So we can be reconciled to God, not because God excuses our sins, but because Jesus satisfied the punishment that our sins deserve. What a great plea to be reconciled to God. What a beautiful picture that we have. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Hey, that's you. And that's me. Like, we talk about how bad the world has gotten. Christ died for the world. We are not good people either. He died for the ungodly. Praise God, that's all of us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amen. See, we're not just saved from wrath because God excuses our sins when we say we're sorry. And that's the mindset that many people in Muldrow have because they've told me. Well, isn't God forgiving? As if the idea is, if I just go to God and say, I recognize I've sinned and I'm really sorry for it. Like God just says, okay, then it's no big deal. That's what we do sometimes. People say, I'm sorry. Ah, it's no big deal. That's not what God says. We are only saved through him. Amen. Listen to verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Man, what a great promise in Romans 5 that we have. And so there's a transformation that does take place. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. Anyone who isn't a new creature is not in Christ. Amen. But can be. Any man. Anyone who's in Christ will be a new creature. Is a new creature. There's also a reconciliation that took place. Listen, I now have direct, we talked about it in prayer meeting, I have direct access to God now. Amen. Amen. What a profound truth that we just kind of say in passing. We can talk to God. I can talk to God. Amen. I can boldly approach his throne. I can walk right up to the throne of God and talk to him like I would a friend. That's incredible. And it's through Jesus that I have that access. Without Christ, I don't have access to God. Neither do you. Without Christ, there is a veil between God and myself. That's what the veil represented in the temple. But you remember when Jesus died, that thing tore in half from top to bottom. Amen. Because it wasn't us that reconciled ourselves to God. It was God who reconciled us together. Amen. And so the Lord tears the veil in two, and now I have direct access to my Father in heaven. There's a reconciliation that takes place. But notice, thirdly in our text tonight, there's transformation, there's reconciliation, there's also a commission. That's usually a word that we really only use around like Matthew 28 or Mark 16 or Acts 1, but there's a commission that he mentions here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Once again, notice he says that he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Notice that first mention when he says that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You guys know what the word ministry is, right? It literally means service. It's the same word in the Greek that we get the word deacon from. The word deacon means servant. And so he says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now think about the word that he uses in verse number 20. He says, now then, because of this, we are ambassadors. And we've all studied this, we've heard this many times. We know the great picture that we can get by looking at ambassadors in our world today. But ambassador, if you really boil it down, they're a public servant. Right? Like politicians are supposed to be public servants. They're not supposed to represent themselves. Like anybody who's ever elected or put in a position of leadership in our government, they don't work for their own interests. Well, like they should not work for their own interests, right? Like people who are in office serving the United States of America should not be pursuing their own agenda. Should really not even be speaking their own opinions. And man, we could really have fun with this, right? Like, is everyone else's like heart rate just a little bit higher? I mean, like, really, like, they are there to represent the country, which is us. And they don't always do a very good job, but that's the way it is. That's the way it should be. They're there representing the nation that they come from, not pursuing their own agendas, not sharing their own opinions. They are there speaking on behalf of the country. And so they are, in a perfect world, they are public servants. They are serving the good of the public, of the country. But Paul says that we now then are ambassadors and we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are to be servants representing the kingdom of God. We don't represent a people. We represent a king. Amen. We don't pursue our own agendas. We don't have our own little side goals, pursuits. We don't really have the prerogative to share our own opinions and thoughts. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we speak, and this is what's so good. Notice the progression here. This is a service that we are all, now then we are ambassadors, that's plural. It's all of us, like not just the preacher, not just a select few. Like if you are in Christ, that's who he's talking to. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now then we are ambassadors. Everybody in here, if you're in Christ, you are all ambassadors. Like it or not, I mean, you are an ambassador. But it is service that's expected of us. It's not even a position of prestige, because we are there promoting the interest of the king. The ministry of reconciliation. But the next phrase that he uses is, he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Man, how about this? I love when God makes things really simple. Don't you? I love it. So we are to be servants of the king. We are to be ministering, serving in this message of reconciliation. And how do we do that? With the word of reconciliation. You know, I'll be honest, like if you send me to a foreign nation right now and you say, hey, represent America, I might not know what to say. Like, what do I do? What do I say? Like, what am I supposed to do? Man, he's given us a book, the word of reconciliation. And so he doesn't just set us loose and say, figure it out. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You can know exactly what to say to people. Because you're a new creation. He's put his spirit within you to teach you, to guide you. He's given you his word. And so now what do we do? Man, this is so simple. Listen to what Paul told them. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. What a great phrase too. We're just telling you exactly what God wants you to know. Amen. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's the message. That's how we represent the kingdom to the world. We have been reconciled to God, and we implore others to be reconciled to God. Amen. That's really simple to understand. But who amongst us is just knocking it out of the park and doing a great job? Who would stand up and say, hey, if you want to know really how to be a great ambassador for Christ and how to take the word and really share it with everybody you see in the week and lead people to the Lord, why don't you guys just follow me for the week, watch me, listen to me, and I'll show you how it's done. Anybody? Anybody? In fact, most of us would be terrified if we said, hey, you know, we've got a new brother in this church, and he hasn't been saved for very long. He's trying to learn. Would you mind if he shadowed you for the week to see what it's like to represent Christ? Like, y'all would skip church that night to make sure you were not selected for that task. I don't want to be selected for that task. But it's a challenge, though, because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I mean, we really ought to be living in such a way that people can follow us as we follow Christ. But it's simple. We're to be serving the king, imploring others to be reconciled to God. And he does end verse number 21. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, there's also an exchange that takes place. There's transformation, there's reconciliation, there's a commission. We're all ambassadors, like it or not. You're either a good one or a bad one, but you are one. But finally, there's an exchange that takes place. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord on the cross took all of my sin, and now I get his righteousness. That's a good trade for me. That's a great trade for me. And you know what I had to do to earn that? Nothing. Nothing. I didn't have to memorize some creed. I didn't have to recite something. I didn't have to be put underwater 7 times, pray 5 times towards the east, have perfect attendance for a year straight with a gold star. Listen, there's nothing that I had to do. I just had to have faith that he died for me. And the Holy Spirit of God convicted me of my sin and drew me to be saved. Amen. Praise God for that. And so tonight, we're going to wrap it up. Just a couple of takeaways. One, if you aren't born again, the next step is simple. Just like Paul told them, we pray you in Christ's stead. We are imploring you on behalf of Jesus himself, be reconciled to God. What a thought that Jesus wants you to be saved. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I mean, you ever wonder what's going on in the mind and the heart of Jesus? Open his word. You can see it. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's the heart of Jesus, that the people in our community would be reconciled to God. Jesus did not die on the cross and take on the sins of the world for us to sit here and be thankful for our salvation and not go tell other people. He wants our neighbors to be saved as well. And so, one, if you haven't trusted Christ, tonight you can be reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, but that's the only way. There is no other way. If you're here and you're not saved, I'm glad you're here because you can hear the truth. But listen, if you think that just continuing to come to church is going to somehow reconcile you to the creator of the universe, it's not going to work. Ray Comfort said, our afternoon soul winning training is a great picture. If you murdered someone 10 years ago and you were never convicted, you were never punished, and you've spent 10 years doing pretty good, you haven't killed anybody else. Listen, you're not going to be able to stand up. If you get arrested, you can't say, well, that was 10 years ago, and I'm kind of sorry for it, and I've been good since then. If you have violated the law of God, you are guilty, and there is a sore punishment coming. But you can be reconciled to God tonight. Secondly, if you are already in Christ, you are a new creature. The Spirit of God lives in you. We don't know him in the flesh, but we know him in the Spirit. And we have no excuse. Have you ever really thought about this? We have no excuse for disobeying God. Because when you say, I'm unable to, what you might not be saying this verbally, because you know that this wouldn't be right, but if you know God has told you to do something, and you say, impossible, I can't do it, you are saying that God can't do it. Because he has given you his Spirit. And so he tells us to be his ambassadors. We are his ambassadors, and we are supposed to be taking the word of reconciliation into our community. We're supposed to be talking to people about Christ. We know that. But he has given us his word. He's given us his Spirit. He's given us everything that we need. We can't do it. Our pastor says it all the time. You can't do it in your own strength, but you can do it in the power of the Spirit. The Bible, the New Testament, the book of Acts is full of examples of people doing things that they couldn't have done outside of the Spirit of God. But he strengthened them, and he strengthens us. Same Spirit, same strength. Let's all stand together. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song of invitation. What if the Spirit is calling you to do tonight, if it's to be saved, right where you're at right now, don't wait for music. Cry out to God right now. Trust in his Son. Believe the gospel. And everyone else here tonight, if you're in Christ, we need to pray. Number one, most of us probably need to pray and repent. Because if we haven't been good ambassadors, it's not just like, well, we're going to try harder, I'll do better. No. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us and then pray for his strength to do better and trust that he'll help us. Let's have a word of prayer.